Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh,
okay.
Hi, I'm Nijon, a self-proclaimed semi drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I've never watched it before.
And together we are whispering hunties. Oh my God, we're back!
We're back. We're back, baby. After a lot of stress and a stressful episode.
Ooh. Oh yeah. I mean, I'm confused. I don't know what TV show I'm watching anymore. I'm here for it though. But yeah. I was so glad to have a chance to kiki with the guests that we have for today. Okay. And but also to just take my mind off of the horror of this week. And yeah. So, you know, if you had a stressful week, which was everybody, and if you had a stressful year, which is everybody, listen to the podcast and
yes. Put your mind on something else for a little bit that's entertaining, fun, sassy. You can laugh about it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're here for you. And speaking of being here for you, one of our guests today is Jada Valenciaga, also known as William Bailey. And she's a singer, she's a dancer, she's an actor, she's a drag queen, and she's a host of Black Content with William Bailey. And she is always 100% that BITCH. So
yeah. Then you have to get a DNA test to find that out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
It's been confirmed, and she's here, and she's everything, and we're so excited. Also, you can catch her on Shade Queens of NYC on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Allah. And we also have our dear friend from across the pond, Adam Briggs. And he's a UK-based English student and host of the podcast Here to Make It Queer. And he's a Scotland native who, after a stint stateside, now splits his time between Leeds and Norwich. In between studying, working in HR, and keeping it queer, he writes for the Leeds University Griffin Arts section. How about that?
I know. And yeah, and Adam Briggsy is our UK friend of the pod. Here to Make It Queer is the cutest, like, story-driven podcast where he talks with so many cool queens like Davina DeCampo, Britta Filter, and I believe his next episode has Sister.
Will be meeting in just a few days on TV.
I know. So, you know, get into his podcast, get into Will's YouTube show. And
yeah, we hope you like the episode.
Get into this episode.
Hey there, Robo fans and Dino fans. Do you like science fiction? Do you like movies about robots and dinosaurs? Do you like podcasts that explore sci-fi philosophy through a fun and positive lens? Then you are going to love Robots vs. Dinosaurs. Every week, your host, Louis G, invites a guest onto the show to talk about one of their favorite sci-fi movies. It's a RoboCast. It's a DinoCast. It's a battle for ultimate awesomeness in science fiction pop culture. Subscribe to Robots vs. Dinosaurs on Apple, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. New episodes every Friday. Follow us on Instagram at Robos the Dinos or Twitter at Versus Robots. That is at VS Robots.
Hello, Adam, Jada Valenciaga.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Yay. Okay.
We're so happy to have you here. Thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad everyone's so excited to be here. So, welcome. The world is a crazy place, especially this week. But thank God we had Drag Race. A friend of mine who's also a big Drag Race fan was like, I didn't even realize the Drag Race was happening this week. And I was like, neither did I, but God damn it, was I happy to just kind of switch off and go back to this crazy, confusing world of what is now Drag Race US. Like, we don't even know when they're going to start eliminating queens, but, you know, we're glad that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Jada, can you please tell us about Black Content with Will Bailey? Who's this Will Bailey?
That is my government name.
Listen, that's also my stage name, which you will be able to look for on Broadway.
Yes!
So don't worry about it. I was like, there was Glenn before there was Jada. Somebody actually said this to me years ago. They're like, so your drag name is Jada. I say, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like, but your boy name is William. I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. They go, well, Will is married to Jada. I said, well, shit. I mean, yes. I guess that just explains my entire relationship life, just married to myself and my career.
Oh, that's my God. I'm going to call you the other Smith.
So basically.
Do you know what this is? This is the queer red table talk. Okay. We're going to get. You wear so many different hats. You're a singer, dancer, actor, drag queen. You know, obviously these didn't all happen in that order.
I started off like any black boy who's ever been on Broadway worth anything has started in my choir, back home, in church boy, basically. And then the dancing, I just always had rhythm. I just came to New York City to go to AMDA to get some technical training behind me. Mm-hmm. And then the acting was always the lowest on my list, but that's something I had a bunch of straight white men teaching me during the classes. So I wasn't really getting what I needed to get as far as being an actor goes. And that just came along with doing my first independent film, which I was in drag for.
Nice.
Oh.
They taught you like the box. Mm-hmm. They didn't teach you how to fill it. That's where you that is where your natural talents have to come in. It's one of those, if you ain't got it, you just ain't got it.
No, but there's nothing like learning in action, right? So like you go to
you learn by doing.
Yeah, you take classes, you do stuff, but then there's something about being in the moment.
Yes. It's, you know, and but then upon looking on it, I wasn't getting what I needed because I hate to say it, but AMDA cranks out your generic musical theater actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And by that, I mean chorus boys, chorus girls. Once in a while, they'll find those little hidden gems of people. They love to, like, you know, claim Jason Mraz. But I was like, y'all kicked him out of school for smoking weed in the dorms. So he didn't technically graduate. I'm gonna need y'all to stop with this cap. You didn't do anything for his career.
Stupid.
So
that was so dumb. Every like college music theater program, that's like their goal. Let's just make everybody the same as possible to fill out the roster of chorus boys.
Technically, I didn't graduate because I still owe the money. But I bet you, goddammit, when I do wind up at the Tony Awards for producing my own show and starring in my own show and getting all those Tony Awards, how much you want to bet they're going to try to put my black ass up on that wall of fame? I will be walking right back up in there to go take that shit on down.
You and Kyle Scaliff will be like, look, I did it on my own, okay?
And I actually did a show with Kyle.
Oh, really?
Like a reading, a stage reading with Kyle.
Oh.
So we knew each other from AMDA as well.
Okay.
And we look back on those times and we just go, well.
Well, child, we made it. We made it. We weren't sure how we were going to get there.
The place that you go, you think that you're going to make all these connections to be able to be on Broadway shows and this, that, and the other. To this day, I don't know or talk to anybody. Anything that I've ever booked, I booked on my own, not from the word of some teacher from AMDA.
Hello. There it is.
So I said, you mean to tell me I could have saved $30,000 and just went to dance and acting classes?
Question. So tell us more about this, your YouTube venture. I mean, like, so, I mean, obviously it's hilarious and I'm loving it. So please don't stop. But where do you feel like you're going to go with, you know, black content?
Well, first of all, I finally broke and did it because people have been enjoying it so much on Instagram. It was just me posting 12 videos and reacting to them and saying stupid shit. And they're like, you should make this into a YouTube series. So then I sat down and was like, okay, well, let's promote a black-owned business while I'm at it. Let just because one thing we need right now is black. We need people's faces right now. Mm-hmm. If these past couple of days have been any inclination, we definitely need to be in your face. So with this YouTube series, that's what I'm just like showcasing, just us singing, not just singing and dancing for the arts, but chefs and activists and lawyers. Things, I'm like, it's not, we're not just all here for a comedy and shucking and jiving. Mm-hmm. We're changing the world right now. And
I mean, down in Georgia.
Yeah, I said, give Ms. Abrams whatever the hell she wants to. If she has to eat her booty like groceries, you better get down there and eat, bitch.
Exactly.
Because she, a black woman, single-handedly turned a red state that has been known for years to stay red. Flipped it blue. And if that's not a testament to black women being complete and utter magic, I don't know what is.
Okay, so, and then you're going to go to Missouri soon?
Yes.
In COVID?
Yes.
You're going to take all that hand sanitizer and, like, you know, just put it at the door?
Well, you know, I wouldn't be traveling there if it wasn't for a good cause.
Okay.
And money. But mostly for the good cause.
No. I love, money is a good cause. Don't get it twisted. Money is a great cause.
I'm actually going back there to choreograph a production of Pippin at my high school.
Oh my God. Yes. But
my theater teacher, she is retiring early. She was supposed to have like 2 or 3 more years, but then COVID hit, she said. So this is her final show. And she's like, she goes, you know, let's leave it on the floor. I want to make this a Black Lives Matter theme.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This little white woman. So
wow.
I said, okay, bet. Let's hit it. I'll fuse some posse with some hip hop and some contemporary. Let's go.
Cute.
We're going to get the school burned down.
Oh my God. Well, that's so cool. You know, okay. So you go to Missouri, take the hand sanitizer, come back. And then if you want to like put up like, you know, a little like reboot of that show off Broadway or on Broadway, just give me a call. Okay.
I think we're actually going to be doing it virtually. So people will be able to watch.
Oh, yay.
From anywhere.
So
that's awesome. Oh, well, then you're going to have to give us a link.
Yeah.
So that we can all watch it. We can all promote it.
So Adam, can you tell us more about Here to Make It Queer? I mean, you're really like diving into this podcasting adventure. Thank goodness. Thank you for the queer content because we need it.
We definitely do need it. I just sort of sprung from a place of like growing up, I didn't have that queer representation. Like my grandma had gay neighbors, like that was the extent of that. And then Drag Race sort of came along and was like, look at all these beautiful people doing different things. And then when I sort of like moved out, I moved to Leeds, but I'm back home now, but like moved out, went to Leeds and everything, met all these like queer people, and I was like, I want to make like a little talk show. And so it's basically just like sit down, like 45 minute, an hour long conversations, touch like a little bit about Drag Race and stuff, but I really want it to be like who they are as queer people and like their stories. To just sort of bring that. And I've had messages from like straight friends, like, I never thought I'd like drag, but this was really interesting. Cause I think once you're, I mean, obviously I'm not speaking from personal experience, but I think if you're labeled as like, you do drag, you're a drag queen, people see that, but they don't see the 20 other things that you do. And to have like friends.
Yes.
Exactly. And to have like, it was one of my flatmates actually messaged me, was like, I never thought I'd like drag, but this shows that it's so much more than like Ben and Wigs. And I was like, thank you.
And like, people forget that we are actually human beings with other traits and talent underneath all the makeup. It's not just one personality.
Exactly. Like it's a whole person. And I did, like the first one was an interview with Davina from Drag Race UK, which was for a piece I was writing for a student newspaper. And then I was like, this is really interesting. Like, I want to see where I can take this. And then I just sort of like followed that down, and it seems to have gone quite well so far. I've got like another 7 lined up to record in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm very excited. Like this Friday, Sister Sister from Drag Race UK season 2, I've got an episode with her. And then Vinegar Strokes from season 1 of UK.
Yes, Vinegar Strokes. Oh, black yes. content.
Exactly. She's so funny. And then I've got one I'm really excited about. I want to do like a mental health, like specific one. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of them, but Cheddar Gorgeous.
They're a UK. Yes, Cheddar Gorgeous.
Yeah, I haven't, but I love that name.
It's such, yeah. They've got like the Family Gorgeous is like their drag house. And they've got, so I'm doing one with Cheddar, Licorice Black, and then Anaphylactic, who are all from the same drag family. And they're all doing like totally different stuff all over the UK. And we're going to have like a mental health one. I'm just focused on how like the arts can sort of boost you out of lockdown because this is our third lockdown in 10 months.
Wow.
Well, you know,
we've only had one real lockdown over here in the States. We should have had at least 3, but
We did. People didn't care.
Well, okay. I'm gonna be really honest with you. I'm still in the first lockdown.
Oh yeah, same here.
But we are spoiled, petulant children, and that is why we only had one lockdown.
You know, it's not that people weren't following the rules. Americans, we just love to find loopholes on every damn thing.
Yeah, because we feel entitled and we don't want to be told what to do.
Well, I don't feel entitled. I've already got 3 strikes against me, so.
It's kind of the same here. Like, we've had first lockdown ended in like the 4th of July. They're like, you can have restaurants, you can have this, you can have that. Everyone went mental over the summer. Then moved to like everyone moved back to uni and stuff. We had like 2 weeks of like somewhat normal life. And then they're like, okay, you're gonna have tiers. So there's like 4 tiers in the UK with all like different levels. And then we had that for a bit and they were like, no, you have a 4-week lockdown, but then at Christmas you can do whatever you want for 5 days. And then it got to like 2 days before that was meant to start, and they were like, actually, you can't do that. You can just do what you want for 1 day. But 1 day, 5 days, it doesn't make a difference. It's still gonna mess everything up. And then here we are 2 weeks later with like the highest daily death toll since the beginning.
Well, I think we're at this point where it's like, you know, you can't expect that like normal life is the immediate alternative to like lockdown life, right? Mm-hmm. You just like any transition out of this is going to require that we adjust our expectations for how we should be behaving.
Yeah, life, our definition of regular life no longer exists.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Period.
Which is, I mean,
it's gone. Yeah.
You know, and I'm okay with that, but you have to be able to acknowledge like the reality of that and not just think that under this special circumstance, I can just act.
We see who's acknowledging it and who ain't.
Oh yeah, yeah. Us who are actually living in lockdown with restriction. That's why we're so mad at everybody who's not.
Right.
Because we all should be, and some people think they're too good for it.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, I'm still in lockdown number 1. I've seen all of 10 people maybe during this whole experience.
Yeah.
And for most of the people out of those 10, I've only seen them once or twice, and I would say that like demasking around other people is something that I definitely haven't done around more than I guess like 5 people.
Very intimate.
Since March.
It's the same queens. I hang around the same queens because I don't really, quiet is kept. I don't like a lot of people anyway. It's easy when you stick to your tribe of people and you know who they're around.
Facts on facts on facts.
It is very, like, fast to figure out who you cannot trust.
Exactly. But also my thing was, with this quarantine, the people who weren't staying in the house, it's definitely clear you don't want to stay in your house to deal with your demons, because that is what 2020 was for. It was the year of you having to sit in your house, apartment, loft, whatever, and deal with your demons, your personal demons. What is wrong with you? Why do you act the way? I know I did, and I found and discovered some things that I said, well, damn. But the people who are going out and constantly, I'm like, guess what? You just don't want to face yourself. If you can't hang around yourself, what the hell makes you think other people want to hang around you?
Totally. Oh, absolutely. Or
in the house and deal with your demons. And you will come out being a better person because of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or you can just be a super rich New Yorker, keep your apartment in New York, and then just go buy a house in Vermont and go spend the winter in that.
Oh, Joe, everyone's buying houses.
She has a house in the Hamptons and her and like a house in Florida. And, you know, they get private planes, but they still manage to get COVID. It doesn't matter how rich you are. Yeah. This shit is not going to just breeze by you because you got money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why... I thank God that her and her family are okay, but... I said, even them private planes will get you, sis. You,
It's still, it's just as juicy in there as it is, you know, on the street.
You got it.
You're still in school, right?
Yeah, I'm in my first year of uni.
How does that work?
We call it college.
Because, like, if I remember my uni experience, it was very fun, very frisky.
Not frisky.
You'd have fun on a Friday night. I just left secondary school, and then I was ready to see where all the boys were at. So
I wish I'd had a fun college experience. Sounds so fun.
It's like it's still been good though. Like I live with 9 other people though, so like without a doubt, there's always something happening. But like I've come home for Christmas, and I've like. Got trapped into lockdown, but like before when there was all of us in the flat, there was always something happening. Like even when we had to do like our quarantine together for 2 weeks, we're like, all right, we're gonna have cocktail night on Monday, we're gonna watch a film on Tuesday, we're gonna have dinner together on Thursday,
because it's family time.
Some kind of structure.
Like you're living in like a kitchen diner, which is probably like the size of like a 5 to 6 person family, but there's 9 of you. And you're also all messy because it's the first time you're living on your own.
Do you each have a bed, though?
Yeah. Good. We've got like a...
like cramming you in.
Just shove them in there.
Yeah.
But to be fair, the couch does get used as a bed because my flatmates lock themselves out. The amount of times I've had to like help them get back into their room when they're really drunk. They're like, the key's not working. I'm like, you don't need the key. It's unlocked. The door is open. Go. Just go.
I can't judge because I have in fact been that person.
Oh, yes. Yep. I think we've all.
That was in the 20s though.
Yeah, the 1920s.
If I was born in the 1920s and I still look like this, it would be over for you hoes.
You're doing something right.
Look, you are a vampire, so don't even get started, okay?
Like, not yet. I'll say that when I'm 40 and I look like this. Right now,
forever.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just saying, I was looking at you on the YouTube and I was like, does this ever age? Like, what is going on here?
She was like, I 22. Don't, because I drink water and I mind my business.
Well, I'm glad to hear that university life still has, a little buzz to it.
Yeah, nice. Little.
Can you just do one last thing? So how is it that you're just starting your podcast and literally you're talking to like everyone on Drag Race? Like what is in the water up in Leeds? And, are you mailing it to the drag queens? Is it like... a youth elixir, and then they're like, okay, sure, I'll like hop onto this podcast.
No, I don't know. The first one, like the Davina one, was through a mutual friend who I'd met who like worked with her previously, and so he messaged her and was like, will you do this? And then Britta, I'd sort of known, we'd been like chatting for like a few months, and then I WhatsApped her and was like, will you please do this? And she was like, of course. And then I think once I had, I think you just have to like go for it. And then if they say no, they say no. Like
the worst thing a person can say is no.
Exactly.
I like those so social... afraid of hearing no.
The worst thing they could say is ew, no. But
wait, so
but yeah, Britta? Same point.
Huh? Yeah.
Side note, Britta was an RA and we went to school together at
these connections.
I forgot that Britta went to AMDA too. This is the AMDA podcast, okay?
Yeah.
Britta,
but it's not sponsored.
AMDA, and she was an RA, and I had the biggest crush on her. We made out a couple of times back in the
day.
And then we just turned into sisters.
Nice. Very close.
But did you lose touch at all before? Because, like, Did you lose touch at all between AMDA and then, like, working as drag queens in New York City?
Well, I actually started first. She was still booking theater gigs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll never forget it. Her first time in drag was when she went to go do a production of Cinderella as one of the stepsisters that required, she was required to be in drag. Mm-hmm. And she came back, and that bitch made a career out of it.
Yes.
That's how it always happens. It's literally how it always happens.
Mm-hmm. Try the dress on. It feels good.
Snapped right into it and made a career of it. I said work. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. She found her niche, and she found the proper people to help her, which were a lot of my, are a lot of my sisters as well. I said work. Your drag mother, yes. We used to work at Lucky Chains together. But taught her how to beat her face, how to sell, and then she just grew into this huge fucking phenomenon, and I'm so proud of her for that. Like, sickening.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if they could do, like, a Lucky Chang's alumni, because there's so many, like, sickening drag queens that used to work at Lucky Chang's.
Maybe.
Is this the one that was a Chinese restaurant as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a Chinese-American infusion type restaurant. After they got kicked out of their place, which was, like, at a Broadway theater, I knew that wasn't going to last long, they started doing their dinners at Stage 48, and it's just such a better location for them, but... You know who else used to work at Lucky Chang's?
Laverne Cox.
Yes, Laverne Cox.
Oh, wow.
I did my... Well, actually, I only worked there. Let me not say, like, I worked there for many, many years. Truth is, I worked 3 shifts, booked a show, and said, bye. I never really quit, but they never really fired me. So I just kind of phased myself out.
Yeah, but Lucky Chang's was drag. What people look at now is like this, like, drag brunch explosion.
Yes, it was the original drag brunch.
It was the original drag brunch, and now, like, Voss Events or whatever has taken it over. But, like, that.
Which I can't complain, because Brandon has signed many, many of my checks.
Well, I know. Well, that's what I was trying to get at. And then, you know, Jada Valenciaga has been one of the drag brunch queens, you know, on the regular. So, you know, Lucky Chang's is really, like, I don't know. It's like they're like the forefathers, the foremothers, the four, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. They paved the way for to be able to have, like, these drag brunches and stuff.
Yeah. And that's like a... But
not to mention the, like, mini shows, the mini brunch shows that would happen in bars, like Intermezzo with Tina. And, you know, all of those people forget that before there were all of these major, major named brunches, we were just out here grinding on a weekday, trying to get people's money.
yeah. And I mean, obviously, I hope that, you know, all those businesses survive. But, like, I'm always down for an intermezzo drag brunch. They always had quality talent. Yeah. It was so much fun. And, I mean, I told this story on the podcast, I think a week ago, but, like, literally, like, the first time I saw Tina Burner perform was at an intermezzo brunch for my friend's boyfriend's, like, birthday.
Oh, wow.
And it was so funny because I had heard about Tina Burner, but I'd never seen Tina Burner. And I was just sitting there being like, who is the Tina Burner? And then after that, I was just obsessed.
So, that's, you know, that's one queen I can honestly say works her ass off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, since I've known her.
Yeah.
Has always been working and working. There were seasons when she didn't get on and it was unbearable to
be around her.
Like, I would just know when the announcements would come out and the calls would go out. And she wouldn't get one. And we have to do, like, girlesque or something. I was like, she going to get drunk tonight and she going to hurt everybody's feelings.
She's just got to get it out. She's just got to let a little steam off.
So when she got on this season, I said, thank you, Jesus.
She's going to be so nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, everybody's feelings can be spared.
Mm-hmm.
Yet another season, honey. She finally made it.
the camera zooms in on me. I freaked out.
So we get some high proof alcohol. We get gasoline. Anything that says
what makes our lives worth living is our mortality. If there were not mortality, we wouldn't be
passionate. Luckily for me, most of the beauty pageants that I've participated in don't.
I've done my fair share of blood, man.
I've always liked showing myself off naked.
Got up out of the seat, walked to me, and then slapped me.
Spontaneous conversation with people from around the world on Stranger Than Christian, available on your favorite podcast app and at strangerthanchristian.com.
Okay, so we're back. And Lord Jesus Almighty, what is going on this TV show? I don't even know. Am I still watching Drag Race or am I just watching like a pageant? Because no one's getting cut off.
Yeah.
If we compare it to season 12, maybe what they're doing is they did the first episode just for like shits and giggles. Mm-hmm. And then the next two are basically the double premieres.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, pretty much.
They're just not allowing more than two people in one room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I thought
yeah.
that too. I was like, maybe this is a weird way that they're like creating COVID clusters so that they can film in small groups.
I feel like that is what it's leaning towards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To be quite honest. And in doing that, they found a new way to possibly eliminate.
You mean like having the queens vote off?
I'm not on staff, so.
Yeah, I mean, we're still like seeing it play out. We don't even fully know. It hasn't been made clear whatsoever. Yeah. It's just like, we just keep getting like the direction of where they're going, kind of.
They have put everybody in a bag of tricks this year.
Yeah, they want us to talk.
Know which way is up, and I'm just like, ooh. Yeah. I love watching these people squirm, trying to figure out what's happening. How about you just go along for the ride, like we originally used to do when the show started airing.
No one's going to go home at this point to, like, what, episode 4, most likely. It is officially RuPaul's best friend's race. Like.
I thought that, too, especially after watching Untucked for this week. It truly is RuPaul's best friend race because they were all being so nice.
They just sat there, like, drinking a bubbly.
All drinking their bubbly because they did the ad campaigns. And it's like, get these girls a drink. Mix it with the bubbly. I don't care.
I mean, I was in the bubbly commercial, but I didn't, you know, I didn't make it on Drag Race.
Yet.
Oh, no, it won't be happening for a
while.
You
don't want to?
Okay. My sights are set on my actual theater career and getting the show that I wrote produced.
For sure.
Amen. But if that fails, then I'll go on Drag Race and do it again.
Well, I mean, at that point, you'll have this amazing resume, like, as seen on Broadway.
Oh, totally.
I was telling people that everybody asked why I don't want to go on Drag Race. I said, honestly, I'm still doing very well in my acting career. And when I do get that top billing, I don't want it to be from RuPaul's Drag Races.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. I want to be there on my own merits. So we still gonna keep on with this acting career. And if it goes south, then I'll strap the wig back on and we can keep punching.
And how intimidating will it be? You're on there. And the first thing the audience is hearing from you is, oh, yeah, I've done this show and this show. I completely self-produce this and that. And then you just sound like a resume coming in.
The resume speaks for itself.
Yeah.
I'll be able to say, I am New York City's premier theater drag queen.
Well, just please, for the love of God, do not do an Olivia Lux and be like, I actually write music and like sing. And I'm just so excited because like this
she's
is
coming
what
across
I do.
Like a 14-year-old. Yeah.
And I'm like Valentina much, you know, like I mean she's backing it up with like loads of charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like, if this girl gives me one more moment of this cockiness, I'm leaving. I'm out the building. I'm just gonna be like, I'm gonna pre-record it and just fast forward through every moment that she's on screen because it is so annoying.
Anybody can squawk. Anybody can talk. Yeah. It's the silent bitches you gotta watch out for because those are the talented ones that come in with a bag on you and you go, oh hell, okay. Now I see where we coming from. I love that.
Well, I think she's doing well, but there are some things that are a little rough around the edges. Like at the end of the episode when they were like when she was, you know, she's like, "Oh my god, I'm doing such a good job lip syncing for the win," which I guess is the new thing. You know, but like everything was falling apart. Her bracelets were falling off, the wig was falling apart, and I was like, "Well, maybe you don't have it all together now, Olivia Lux."
Yeah, it's like now you don't look pageant because you're crumbling. And
well,
also
if- If there's one thing I can honestly say in regards to that, and especially when you're lip syncing with a purpose, sometimes we as drag queens don't think about performance.
Oh, okay.
As much as we should. And what, because when I do drag and I know I'm going to have to do a dance number, I get bracelets that are going to be tight that I know aren't going to fly off. If the elastic's bad in them, then I'm not going to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wear jewelry just for the sake of wearing jewelry, especially if a title is on the line.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when I just, well, actually, no, all the time. Performance should come before anything. Mm-hmm. It's not enough to just look at you, because looking at you can get boring. What can you do to entertain me?
Totally.
There we go.
I work a 9-to-5 minimum wage. And the one thing that I do is I come out to a bar and I want to watch a show. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do to get this 20 out of my hand? My hard-earned money.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Because if you're just walking around, bitch, I can walk around.
Right.
I can walk around and let you have it. But what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Evoke some type of emotion in me.
I just need a little bit less confidence. And I think I'll hop back onto the ride. But for right now, I'm just like, if I have to see one more moment of this smug smile, I'm just like, okay, whatever.
Everyone has a moment of humbleness, but I hope it's not to the point where her humbling moment comes and everybody is rooting against her.
Right.
Yeah.
You need to have a humbling moment while people still like you.
Very true. Kind of like what happened with what's her face that got voted off? Elliot with DC's.
Elliot, yeah.
You know, she explained that she was like, actually, I'm the Lala Ree was like, wait. Pause. Wait. So you lost the lip sync, everyone voted you off, and now you're back? Oh.
And they were like, well, maybe you'll get sent home a fourth time. We'll see.
this was literally just a way for like Elliot to humble herself, right? So she came in.
But she didn't. She immediately then to Candy Muse was like, well, your sister got sent home last time. And like a lot of girls who say, oh, you know, that they're going to do well, don't do well. So how do you think that works for you? It was like... Girl, you just got voted off.
I know.
Twice.
That karma will come back and bite you in the ass every single time.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I still think that Elliot hasn't figured out that she's on Big Brother. You know, do you know what I mean? Because Tina Burner came in playing a really big game. But if you noticed, Tina Burner, after like halfway through episode one, seems to have really like softened a little bit. And isn't starting as much trouble, and Candy Muse is kind of like popping off a little bit. But I think that some of the queens are slowly realizing that something's different about this season, and they just have to be a little nicer to people because they don't know if they need allies, which clearly will happen if we are doing what it seems, doing like the contestants are voting each other off situation. So you have to...
Yeah.
You have to win the hearts and minds of the audience, but then also your peers.
Also your fellow queen.
I mean, that should just be a fucking life skill anyway.
Yeah.
Treat people with respect. That is as simple as that.
It will serve you one way or another. It's better for you. It's better for them.
But I low-key feel like that's how most queens have won Drag Race. Like when the winner is very controversial, the win kind of feels a little weird. But a lot of times the winners have like when Bianca won, I was like, damn straight, because she has been winning and she was never in the bottom. Mm-hmm. And
but you also notice anybody that she ever helped and then they shaded her, they were gone the next episode.
Right.
They were gone the next... That's my... Bianca, first of all, foremost, is great, good sister mine.
Yeah,
and she's awesome.
Watching that season, anytime she stuck her neck out and helped somebody, made sure her own shit was done first.
Yes.
Because mama didn't raise no fool. Mm-hmm. She's been in the game way too long to play that game. Mm-hmm. She got her shit done first, and then she offered help. If she offered the help and they took it, great. If they didn't and it was shady, they were gone the next episode.
I know. And she would... I mean... her untucks were the best because people would come for her and she'd be like, wait, wait, you think you can start with me because it seems like I'm not coming for you? You know, she's like, I'm not bothered. I'm not bothered. And you can just see the door. And then they did.
You know, the best advice she's ever given me, and I'm pretty sure other queens, is she's like, drag queens are like snowflakes. No two of us are alike. What you bring into the table is going to be completely different from what I bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And she stuck by that. That's the best advice, which is why she was so unfazed by all of that foolishness in her season.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she could be like, great, I'm gonna just go ahead, keep sewing, get this hair together, because while you may be feeling your fish fantasy, they won't be able to see my lace. So, yeah. Wash your wigs, queens, wash your wigs.
But you know, I still remember when, like, I didn't even realize that she was taking notes at all the BS that was coming out of Laganja's mouth. But then when she broke it down, she's like, wait a minute, you said, like a couple episodes ago, one story. Now you're changing your damn story. Don't bring this in.
Bianca was born in New Orleans, honey. Yeah. You know, the New Orleans folks, they'd be like, okay, now you have said this. And now you're saying it. Which one is it? Because I got receipts. Don't try me.
Oh my God.
I think that's going to be Candy this season. I feel like if anyone tries to come for her, she's like, well, last week you said this, now you say it. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Calculating. Right. Gone.
Right. Right. Because she was so bickering after Elliot's comment.
Candy is not with the shits.
I know.
Never has been. Anytime I've ever hung out with her, never has been. Never will be.
Oh, well, she's going to make good TV. I love this challenge. I'm so happy that, like, right off the bat, we get to see some excellent looks from the queens.
What an intense, like first set of challenges. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
But I have to say that I was really confused by what Candy was wearing on that runway. Like, the first outfit didn't make sense to me. I don't think it fit well.
Yeah.
And then the second one was okay. But then they even pointed out that, like, there was the hole at the back. So she, like, didn't wear her full costume for some reason.
Right. And, like, figure something else out, because then it just looks like, I mean, it's just a hole in your costume, yeah. You know? And neither of them, I felt like, were, like day look and night look. It just felt like she went for just totally something else. It didn't seem like fashion.
No, but I feel like she wasn't doing her drag. Like, I felt like she was wearing something that, like, is not really necessarily Candy Muse.
Yeah, it didn't seem on brand, yeah.
Because normally when I see Candy Muse, I see a different type of queen, and I think that she's going for something that is not mainly, like, in her lane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like anything they wear...
Not her aesthetic. Not what you would assume that she would be wearing, what got her on the show in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. Let them ask you for versatility. You don't need to give it to them, like, straight off the bat, right?
It should work. Because I think that was definitely her mindset behind it. But it was like, this isn't your look. You know?
Like Gottmik, for example, who came out doing a non-Gottmik, like, face, but looked gorgeous. Like, I think I screamed when I saw Gottmik's first runway look.
Because that was a smart way to do that.
Yeah.
It was cute. It was like, you know what it was? It was like Rainbow Bright was a drag outfit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. I got those vibes, yeah.
Because I feel like she must know that if she comes out there and does the white every time, Michelle is going to clock that.
Yeah.
She would.
I mean, she said showing versatility. She's really good with catchphrases. I'm noticing that. Like, almost every time she's on camera, like, you could bottle that onto a t-shirt.
And in the song, just like, so gorge. That's just like, that's an iconic, like, that's a catchphrase. It's really good.
Well, I think it's because she's basically from the house of Gigi Gorgeous. So, like, everything's going to, like, revolve around that. But what did you think about Tina Burner's outfits? Because I thought that they were also really strong.
Yeah.
She's not really a fashion queen. I think she's worked on her aesthetic over the years.
She has never said, and I'm going to say this right now, after 10, 12, how many years have I been doing drag? I've been doing drag for about 11, 12 years now. And I've worked with Tina Burner since then. She will always tell you, I'm not a fashion queen. I am a costume queen.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
She does not do the fashion thing. She does costume queen. costume camp. That is what she does. She never will try to deem herself a fashion queen, which is what I love about her.
Well, then that's even stronger than for what she did for the day and night looks, because it's like she took her aesthetic and it was still the red, yellow, orange, but she made it fashionable and she took a new direction where I truly, she walked out and I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I love that. Made up for the hot dog, you know.
And look through a Vogue magazine. Yeah. What she's going to do is she's going to sit there and get some kind of inspiration for some stupid shit that she's watching online. And then before you know it, you got a new mix and a new outfit.
That's cute. That's cute.
That's why she's losing so many pageants here in New York City, because they're like, well, you're not being a pageant queen. You're not wearing the gown. You're not doing it. It would always be costume.
Yeah. But
and the moment that she switched over to that pageant mode, let the crown.
She really has. I was there when she was crowned Miss Hell's Kitchen, and she looked, I mean, gorgeous. And yeah,
she can do both.
She can do both. Get you a queen that can do both.
Yes, honey.
Yeah, no, but I like. I hope that she says that on the runway. If they're like, you're looking a little costume, and she can be like, damn straight. What do you think I am?
What I do?
Yeah, I think that.
Damn straight.
Did you clock her? For the song, congratulations, that was, like, very Hunger Games, like, Katniss Everdeen, like, you immediately got that reference.
Yeah, that's true.
That was one of her outfits from when she lost Miss Fire Island a couple of weeks ago.
See, this is why you do pageants. I don't know what happened, but for the first time ever, I was very disappointed in Simone's runway look. The second time.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Do you know what I mean?
I love that hair.
The first one was the
day and night looks?
Wait, no, maybe I'm thinking, maybe the first one was, maybe I didn't like the, well, I liked the one where she was in the suit.
I think it was the day one.
Yeah, it was kind of like an extension of how she's kind of like doing a little bit of baps, but then a little bit of high fashion at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I liked, like the cape all like worked very well, I thought.
Yeah, but then the second one, I was just like, it just looked like, I don't know how
it
to say it.
It looked like, it was kind of like high fashion, but it wasn't a night look, I feel like.
You know what it was?
It looked like experimental early 2000s runway.
So to quote Peppermint, is it fashion?
I loved the hair. I loved the hair, though.
Yeah, the hair was.
I loved the wig.
What is it with this? So I almost felt like there were too many things in the episode, because we have the runway, right? But that was just the mini challenge. Then we have a maxi challenge where they write a verse, record it, and then do choreography and perform it. Like,
but we didn't even get to see them recording or anything. And that's like, I love that part. And so it was truly so much packed into an episode for just half the girls. Yeah. But I think we're getting the same thing next week, probably. But yeah, it was so much going on that you couldn't help but feel like you kind of missed a little bit because it was so different.
I kind of think the day night is overdone though at this point. Like they did it on last season 12. Same thing when they split like the episodes, and I feel like it's quite prescriptive.
How shady of it was Elliot not choreographing? Do you know what I mean?
Right. Because she like didn't speak up. I think it's smart. It's a little unfair, but it's smart.
I don't know. I kind of feel like...
She didn't want to take control, but then... So like, that's good. But, it was a little bit shady because she was like, I'm not going to say anything until it's advantageous for me to speak up that I can dance.
Yeah.
So...
But it's also like, it was like a deer in headlights, right? So it's like, if you can tell that, like, maybe it's the control freak in me, but I would be like, if that's how the choreography was going down, everyone just walking around being like, let's put a hand here, let's put a leg here, let's like...
Very basic.
You know, I'd just be like, no. Can one person just get up? Do you know what I mean? Like,
we're not going to do this. You do an A, you do an A. No, bitch, we're coming into rehearsal. Did you not I choreographed it. Don't worry. Here we go. This is the 5, 6, 7, eight. I'm not going to have you wasting my time, and you're not going to be wasting mine, and we're not going to be going up on stage looking like boo, boo, boo.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would just be like, we have to perform this tomorrow or whatever in 4 hours, depending on how they filmed it, because tomorrow is a relative term on reality TV shows. But like,
right.
who's in charge of this mess? And if no one's going to be in charge, someone better like lay it down, right? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't even need to be that complicated. It would just be like, just one person get on stage and just figure it out. And I will sit my ass down and shut up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to choreograph it, but someone needs to choreograph it.
Unwarranted anxiety, because then you're going to be going up on stage not fully knowing what the hell you're doing.
Like candy.
But I think she could have gained, like, the girls' respect so much quicker. Because obviously there was a little bit, like, shade when she first went in. And they were like, why are you here?
Yeah.
If she went into that and was like, this is what I do. Let me show you. Like, let's make this work. And then they all stand on the runway and get told, your, like, choreography was so good. Then they'd be like, okay. You're sort of like...
Yeah.
That could have been something that could have brought her higher in the ranks.
Yeah. It would have been very congenial.
Especially, it would have been like, oh, well, maybe now she's worth more. And I should, like, get to know her so that she could help me maybe with... Like, if I was struggling with choreography or something like that.
So,
it would have... This is why I thought... This is why I'm mad about it. Because I'm like, that was shady. Oh, my God. Yeah. So, at the end of all of these shenanigans, we find out that Olivia and Simone are the top two of the week.
On the surprise season of All Stars.
On the surprise season. Welcome to RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars. You thought it was a regular season, but.
Because you're already All Stars. So we're changing the rules, and the two winners lip sync for a tip.
Oh, yeah. So this is. Last All Stars, everyone was trying to like write down every time that RuPaul tried to explain the rules because we didn't know what they were. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, you're like, it takes you like 20 minutes to like explain how the voting's gonna work and all this stuff. And we're back on a regular season and it's the same damn thing. It's like, okay, so they are starting. Now they're split into two groups. If you vote someone off, they might be put to a different group. And then like...
Yeah. And are they just like going wild this season and then season 14, it's like back to normal? Or like...
I don't know. But they're
right. Back to normal. So everybody's watching going... Is it safe to come out and assume
right,
that we're...
Right. And everybody's like not on their game, not being sassy. Everybody's just like...
Okay. Somebody just tell us what to do.
Right now, this is considered a 2020 season.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a couple more 2020 seasons to the point where they're going to go back to when things were normal, and those girls are going to walk in and sit down and not touch anything and do what the fuck that they're supposed to do.
What were you going to say, Adam?
It's going to ruin the entrance looks for the next few seasons, I think, because now they're going to go and be like, oh, I need to be able to move in this. But like some of my favorite entrance looks are the ones that it's a look. That's what it's meant to be. You're not going out to do a number in it.
It's going to have to, like, the workroom entrance looks now have to be something you can get dunked into a tank of water in. You have to be able to lip sync in it if you have to. You have to now impress all the other girls to make a great first impression so they don't vote for you to leave if you're wearing chicken feathers. It has to be all these things.
Well, but at the same time, like, it has never not been important that you have an entrance look that is versatile. Like, come on. Like,
yeah.
Raja said it, what was it, like, season three? She's like, I didn't know what the hell they were going to do to us on day one, so I wore something that was very utilitarian. And, maybe she wore a wig, but it was, like, very tight, you know? And, like, case in point... Netherlands, Envy Peru, and Abby wore these like slinky little numbers and it was perfect. I mean, poor Envy probably wasn't able to return the garment that she borrowed that was originally on Dita Von Teese. But, you know, at least it took a nice photo. Do you think that the winners of this episode, because it almost seemed as if, oh, now we have two winners, right? So... Do you think that the winners were Simone and Olivia?
Simone, yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Olivia, I think, of course, did well. But for her to be one of the winners, I guess I'm cool with it. I thought everybody was, like, living for her day and night stuff. And I was just thinking her day and night stuff was, like, okay.
It was cool for what it was, but it wasn't all that.
And I think she has this tendency to wear things that make her look huge.
No, but she's a pear shape.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, she's not a thin young queen. She's curvy, naturally.
Oh, see, I guess I totally missed that.
She's a pear shape body.
I thought it was her choosing looks that were kind of making her look that way.
That's her body. Maybe she pads here and there, but like she's a little, she's boxier naturally.
Oh, okay. I did not realize that. She kind of has. I was off then.
She's working with what she has, but I still don't like it. But you know,
yeah. like the 60s ish like day look.
It did nothing for me.
Not good.
No, that was kind of. I thought that was kind of cute.
Yeah,
cute.
It was cute, but it was cute, not like a runway.
Accurate. Yeah. Jane's quiet because she said it already.
He said it. I was just rephrasing it from the girl from Sister Act 2. It was cool for what it was, but it wasn't. That is basically what you said, Nick. So
yeah.
Like her entrance look on day one was a better look than this, and if I see one more damn little tiny purse, I'm gonna pop off. I am annoyed with these tiny purses.
They're not special if they're all the time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but wasn't it like GJ who was like, don't think about your branding like while you're still on the show. It should feel natural. But like, if you can tell that like she went in there and she bought like 20 purses that are like this big, and you know now it's gonna be like a keychain, merchandise, TV shirt, like blah blah blah.
Also, just such a New York City girl thing.
What, the tiny purse?
The tiny purses.
Yeah, a purse that's not a purse.
I mean, not I look like I'm going camping because I carry about 8 costumes, so I've got Nike duffel bag.
I have a huge purse.
The girls like to have like a little clutch purse on the floor to keep their lipstick and other things that they should not leave backstage, their money, their wallets, their phones. So I understand it, but you don't need that if you own a TV show.
So more big props, please. A Candy's denim jukebox.
Yeah, I love a big prop.
Probably. Love it.
But I don't know. These tiny little, look. Okay, I'm sorry. No. I don't like Olivia. I do not like, I think Olivia's a great person. I think she's very talented.
That's all you have to say at the beginning.
I think you don't like,
yeah.
I think you don't like ingenues.
Be nice. Just say you don't like the girl.
But here's the thing. In this day of hatred and social media and all this craziness, I don't want to drag her as like to say that she's not talented or all this other stuff. I'm not into it. This is not for me. Okay. But you know what was for me was.
I'm sorry. It's like, just say you don't like the bitch so we can keep going.
No, I love her. She's my sister.
You're so damn politically correct.
No, I'm a loving person and I believe in lifting everybody up. Till you piss me off. What I was feeling was my girl Simone with the lip sync of lip syncs. This was so much fun to watch. I'm just like, it's cute.
We just gotta appreciate that there weren't any stunts and flying around for once, because as much as we all love those things, sometimes they are a little bit relied on. And this was a good chance to see that like can have a fierce lip sync. Where they're just selling it.
Well,
it's the honest to God truth. Like I say, performance is a huge thing personally to have as a drag queen, but you don't have to be kicking and flipping and splitting on a part of a song that doesn't need it. What purpose does it serve for me to do a cartwheel and I'm over here singing I Have Nothing by Whitney Houston?
Yes.
What does that do? Like, you gotta know when. To do what? You have to know when to do what.
Well, I mean, thank you for bringing us back to that Chi Chi DeLaVane moment where, like,
May she rest in peace.
May she rest in peace. But like, or, oh my God, like the Latrice Royale moment where Latrice held her space while what's her face was doing like modern dance. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. Kenya Michaels. Little Kenya Michaels.
Little Kenya Michaels was doing, you know, Martha Graham ballet.
Baby, you could not tell Latrice that she was not Aretha Franklin at that moment.
No, you could not. You could not
show her. Your eyes were on her because she was acting the shit out of that. Meanwhile, you got Alvin Ailey running around your feet. I'm like, girl, if you don't sit your ass down.
Sit down.
Standing around. Sit down. And act the number. Ugh. And she was like in a pregnant belly, too.
I know.
That's the funniest.
Who has the audacity to look that good in pregnant drag? Amen. Thank you, Latrice.
You're right.
I just loved watching Simone lip sync for a second time. And I'm going to call her lips. She like luxuriates herself all over the stage. You think that the bitch was on holiday, just like having a little kiki with her friends and like lips.
Yeah.
And that's not just something you learn.
No. She's talented.
That is a gift.
She's Michelle said it like before she lip synced. She says she was telling Tina, you know, this isn't a bar. You have to hold your space and let the camera find you and let it drink up all of that luscious skin.
Give them something to look at.
You know what? Simone was giving us some quality black content.
Yeah. I think you're ready for some black content.
Thank you.
Right. I know I am.
I actually just got finished loading it. It'll be airing at 6 p.m. today.
Oh, your latest episode?
Yes, it's only my second episode, but I release one episode every Sunday at 6 p.m.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you.
So it's already queued up and ready to be released. Oh
my God, thank you for making content for the children because this has been a week.
I'm like, nothing but me talking shit and promoting businesses, but I mean,
what do you think this is?
Right. I'm like, I do this. I used to do this on stage.
Exactly. Adam, Jada, thank you so much.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you.
We probably have to skedaddle, but before we do, where can everyone stalk you profusely, follow you, tip you? I don't know, just all of those things.
You can find me on Instagram at Adam Briggsy. I'm on Twitter at Adam Briggsy with an underscore because some asshole stole my username. And then on the podcast page is Here to Make It Queer on Instagram and then Make It Queer on Twitter. And that's every two Fridays. There'll be a new episode of that on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Every Friday, fortnightly.
Exactly, fortnightly. It's all the rage.
That's that British flavor.
Exactly. You
know? Oh, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Jada Valenciaga, all lowercase, JadaValenciaga. And you can also find me on Black Content with William Bailey on YouTube. New episodes every Sunday at 6 p.m. I can't believe I have a show to promote. Thank you, Jesus. And you can catch me in this house avoiding people. So, but if you want to pay me, my Venmo is also Will Valenciaga, WILLVALENCIAGA.
You heard that?
If you're drag queens, listeners, if you're drag queens, people.
Mm-hmm. Support them.
No, but everyone, please be safe. Please be kind to yourself. You know, it's been a week, and I'm so glad that we were able to come together and kiki, because a little kiki makes the world go round.
Yeah.
Okay. Be well. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
This film is not endorsed by World Wonder, VH1, Icon, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. Involves Drag Race and Canada Drag Race and all names, pictures, audiences, or registered trademarks and/or copyrights, their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.